Today on Real Radio.
Do you think for a moment, after having read the Bible, that John is some really bad attitude kind of guy? He's got an axe to grind? That he's been living in the wilderness a little too long? Too much locust he's been eating?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first 14 verses of chapter 3, which speaks of Messiah's cousin, John the Baptist. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, What Shall We Do?
You can't look at the manger, because the manger implies that he came into the world for a reason. And if you think, you got to ask what the reason is. And if you keep thinking, then Jesus also went to the cross. Look, people don't want to talk about the cross, because the cross implies that an innocent man died. Died for what? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He died for us. But if you begin to take it that personal, the question is asked, why did he die? And the answer is, because you and I have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't have that message out there, because that's offensive to people. It's hate speech. And so you've got to remove Jesus from Christmas. I don't know what we're going to call it anymore. But the amazing thing is this. God's love for you announces that Christ has come to set us free. If we receive God's good news, the message, he loves us. My friend, Jesus came to take us to heaven. He wants you there more than you want to go. And he paid the price for it. So don't be offended by this. Be encouraged by it. But listen, a lot of churches will not mention this thing about sin or heaven or hell or all this. In the light of the fact that God loves us. So listen to what the Bible says, and John is speaking, and there's good news in the end, if you'll just sit and you'll just listen. He announces this message of repentance for the remission of sins. And verse 4 says, as it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, nearly 800 years before John came on the scene, Isaiah said that one would come and this would be the message. And this was John's message. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough valleys smooth, and the flesh, or all flesh, shall see the salvation of God. Church, are you with me? Everybody with me? Did you hear the end of that prophetic announcement by Isaiah, which John is speaking? Everyone will see the salvation of the Lord. That's good news, you guys. What about this leveling and making straight? What is that all about? What's that mean? When John here begins to preach this message of repentance, every person in the audience of John's knew what he was talking about. Follow along with me if you would. It is a historical fact that during the Roman Empire, when the Roman emperors would visit various dominions that they presided over in their great power of the empire, get a load of this. It almost sounds like today. Whenever a great entourage is going to come, they would, that is the Roman civil engineers, that's where we got it from. The civil engineers would go out onto the lane or the path that the emperor was to come into the city on. They would fill in all of the bumps and all of the dips in the roadway. Don't you wish they would do that in our state? And they would make it all smooth so that the entourage of the emperor would be smooth and would not be restricted or inhibited at all. Are you with me? The motorcade of the emperor would not have any bumps. If there were deep valleys or deep hills, they simply made a new Roman road that was straighter and more comfortable for the emperor to ride on because they had the money. How many of you remember that right here, this region and in all of the L.A. area, we hosted the 1984 Olympics. Remember that? The only Olympics, by the way, that turned a huge money profit. Remember that? Do you remember the days leading up to the Olympics? I thought it was wonderful. You want to know why? Didn't we get all new resurfaced highways? Remember? Do you guys remember that? Buildings were repainted, banners were hanging, like we're trying to convince the rest of the world it always looks like this here all the time. And everything was done up so nice. The camera angles were specially, you know, put so the world could see how wonderful this place was. Well, you know what? That's exactly what we're talking about here. Make straight the paths was John's announcement. Dan, do you think John was talking about civil engineering? He's given the word of God and he's saying, make straight the road from the throne of God straight into your heart. Make it straight. No curves and no dips and no things that would prevent the king from riding into your heart. The areas that are obstructed and messed up, clear it out. Remove those things from the direction that the king will be coming into your life about and for. And so this is John's message to us today. It precedes the going forth of the good news. Church, listen to me carefully. This is so critical, and it's so often taken advantage of. I cannot, based upon the authority of God and the authority of God's word, I cannot tell you that you should accept Christ today as your Lord and Savior. I can't say that to you. I can't tell you that if you just receive Jesus, you'll be forgiven of all your sins. I cannot say that to you and stand before God. I would be doing you a great injustice, and I would be actually preaching a false gospel. I can't tell you that if you just come to Christ, your life will be filled with happiness. I can't tell you that. I must first give you, as the Bible gives throughout the entire New Testament, I must give you what the first word of the gospel is. It's what John announced. Repent. A baptism of repentance. Stand up. Hear the word of God. Acknowledge what God says. And then respond by saying, what shall I do about what John is exposing in my life? Oh, Pastor Jack, what do I do? You see, it is the act of repentance that brings us to what I said a moment ago. It's repentance that brings us to salvation. It's repentance that brings us to have a changed mind. It's repentance that brings us to say, oh God, what shall I do to be saved? I cannot say, just come forward and sign up and live happily ever after. That is a false gospel. The Bible says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so we've got millions of people walking around America today thinking that they're Christians, their life has never changed, and they're wondering why not much has gone on in their lives, and there's no difference. They go to church on Sunday, but they live like Hades, you know what word I'm thinking about, the rest of the week. And they think this is Christianity, like everything else, powerless and ineffectual to change my life. And that's not true. It's the power of the gospel that changes us, people. And the power of the gospel is to metanoia, repent, change your mind and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear that today. And yet it's the only way you can get to heaven. We listen to John and John says these things. It's very, very important to us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 7, Jesus said this concerning John, and before I read Matthew 11, 7, when John was given this message, if you read the other Gospels, John, does anybody remember how John is dressed up? You guys, he's wearing camel's hair suit. You say, well, didn't everybody? Answer, no, not for about 500 years. Can you imagine wearing apparel today, 500 years old? Can you imagine dressing up like a, you know, like somebody in London 500 years ago? You know, with the big puffy or poofy shoulders and those just flaky looking leotard things that guys wore with the little tutu thing, and they had a feather in their hat, you know, and they walked around, hear ye, hear ye. I mean, they look kind of nutty, man. Can you imagine? You say, well, nobody dresses like that today. That's exactly what happened when John was given this message. The guy shows up wearing a Tarzan suit of camel's hair turned inside out. Listen, the rough skin was against him and the soft fur or hair, whatever a camel is, it was on the outside. John wore the rough part against his skin to be uncomfortable. And he walked around. Can you imagine? Some people have said, J. Vernon McGee says, it's no wonder why his message was so stern. He wore such uncomfortable clothes. That was a joke that McGee was talking about. But here is John preaching, and people are saying, come on, you've got to see. We've heard about this guy. I mean, he's like a blast from the past, man. Let's go see him. And they go see. And Jesus says in Matthew 11:17, as Jesus departed, he began to say to the multitude concerning John the Baptist, what did you go out into the wilderness to see back then when you went to see John preach? A reed blown in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiments? No. Indeed, those who wear soft clothes can be found in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Oh, yes. I say to you, and more than a prophet. See, John was out there. And he was a Nazirite, remember? He came from the wilderness. He had major, major hair. He looked like a hippie, long beard. And he was preaching this message. And what he was saying convicted the hearts of his hearers. And they knew inside themselves, they were man and woman enough to look inside and to stop playing with themselves and to come to the conclusion, what shall I do? I've got all the things of this life, or I'm losing all the things of this life. What shall I do? That's a great question that only you can ask you, and I must ask myself. When my eyes turn inward and say, in light of these things, what shall I do concerning the sin in my life? And so here's John in this almost costume-looking set, and he's making this great, tremendous announcement. Look at verses 7 through 9. It says, then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized. Now, pause right there. Don't you think that that's a good thing? Don't you want people to come, John? You guys, you got to understand who John is. Church, answer me if you know. Did God love John? Does God love you? Did God give John what to say? Did God love the people who were coming? Yes, of course. All yes. Okay? All of the affirmative. Then what's going on here? Do you think for a moment, after having read the Bible, that John is some really bad attitude kind of guy? He's got an axe to grind? That he's been living in the wilderness a little too long? Too much locust he's been eating? No. This man's heart is possessed by God. Remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment of his birth, or conception, actually, in the womb. Listen to what he says. All these people and crowds have come out. Any preacher, any evangelist would say, all right, great. Look, the newspaper ads worked, you guys. The radio program worked, you guys. Do you think that's real true growth? What came ye out to see? Hey, come on, let's go. Hey, there's this guy in town, let's go. There's this traveling evangelistic show, let's go. What came ye out to see? Jesus would say. Well, listen to what John says. All these people have come out. Hey, come on. Hey, it's John. Wow, cool clothes. Wow, that reminds me of what we've read, you know, about Isaiah and all those old time guys. Look at his clothes. John opens his mouth and yikes. He says, listen, I don't know if he learned this in seminary or what. You brood of vipers? Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's what I call negative church growth tactics. All these people have come out. Don't you think they would have made seats for them, brought them popcorn maybe? Hey, sit down, you know. Give me a little greeter's bag. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Man, if John showed up right now, can you imagine if he walked in that door right there? We'd probably walk out that door over there. He'd walk up here right now. Remember, this is New Testament. And he'd say, you brood of vipers. And then you begin to wonder, is he talking to me? John would say, you brood of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Meaning, wrath is coming. Judgment is coming against sin. Who told you to run out of here? Flee for help and come to this river to be baptized, John would say. Who's asked you? Who prompted you to come from wherever you were at in your place of comfort and try to get things right? Wow, John. He uses the word vipers. In the Greek, the word that he used is this. It's very, very graphic. Who warned you, you bunch of little snakes that jump out of the bundle of sticks that are thrown into a fire? That's what the word means. You bunch of little snakes that come squibbling out of the fire, you know, when the sticks are thrown in there? Yikes. John. Well, you know what? In the multitude of those people, there were those who believed and those who didn't believe. There were those who were recreational about it all and those that were dead serious about it. You know, that's always true in a crowd, people. A crowd means nothing. Jesus warns, though, actually, Jesus warns that a crowd could actually be the downfall, could be trouble. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter in by the narrow gate. Listen to this. Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many on it. You ever seen the 405 on a Friday? That's the picture. When I read that, I think of that. And when Jesus says there's a broad path, a broad road that people are traveling on, and they don't have a clue of where it's going. Think of a congested freeway. Jesus says, that's very common. But those who are heading toward eternal life, it's a very little traveled road. It's very narrow. It's very difficult. He said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Wow. You say, Jack, aren't you concerned about saying these things and people not coming back? I am not. And I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See, I'm just to give the word of God, and his people will respond, and those that are not his people will not respond. I mean, I truly have no effect in any of this. I'm simply the messenger. And Jesus says, when my word is spoken, my sheep who hear me, they're going to respond. You see? See, whenever there's a big crowd, it can be actually kind of dicey. Because who's on the broad path? It's easy to come to a church this size. There's nearly 3,000 people sitting here right now. It's easy to hide. But who are we really? God knows. And John, as a prophet of God, somehow had a great discernment or feel that there were those in the gathering not true, not actually real. So verse 8, he says the key. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now listen to this, and please hear me out. Don't be offended by what I'm about to say. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Did you hear that, everyone? John is Jewish. The audience, predominantly Jewish. Apparently, based upon John's word, who are they leaning upon for their identification with God? Anybody? Abraham. A prophet of God shows up on the scenes, predominantly, not all, but predominantly Jewish people come out to see him, and John says, bring forth proof of your repentance toward God. And listen, and don't pull the racial card on me. John is saying this. Don't pull the racial card that you're connected to Abraham. I don't want to hear it. You show proof of the fact that you believe in God based upon your act of repentance now. That you are absolutely grievous over your sin. And don't tell me that you can live a sinful life and then pull the race card of Abraham. You live like this all the rest of the days of the week, and then you pull the Abraham card on one day of the week. John is saying, don't do that. God sees right through that. Don't do this all week long and then grab this card and say, well, I have a Calvary Chapel get out of jail card. Not going to work. Well, I have a Lutheran, I'm forgiven automatic card. Not going to work. I've got a Baptist get wet, I don't know, card. Not going to work. It's not going to work. That's what John is saying. I told you, ushers, guard the doors. Do you understand that you're not going to get to heaven based upon anything other than your pure, unadulterated dependence upon what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he rose again from the dead? You trust him, that's it. Yeah, but Pastor, how about if I do that and do everything else I can to be good? Not going to work. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, you have in fact fallen from grace when you add anything to the work of Christ. It's Jesus Christ alone that did all the work for us on his cross. Amen. And you can't say, you know what? I'm a child of Abraham. I have a Jewish background. Or you might say, well, I'm a child of Muhammad. I'm a Muslim. Not going to work. What are we boasting in? Anything other than our faith in Christ, we're in trouble. Don't say to me that you've got this person or that person, Abraham or whoever to trust in. And John anticipates it. He says, don't tell me. Pretty powerful stuff, huh? John's strong. Why? He loves them. He wants them to come to the truth and not hide behind something. And so the Bible says to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. A very powerful statement that Jesus said in Matthew 7:16. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? The answer, of course, is no. Even so, every good tree that brings forth good fruit is a good tree. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit, neither can a good tree produce bad fruit. He says, you'll know them by the fruit that's produced. He goes on to say, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Matthew 7:21, listen to this, everybody. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. Do I have your attention now? These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever, I have you ever called him Lord? I have. Because I call him Lord, does it guarantee that I'm going to heaven? Well, let me read on. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's it, the will of my Father. What is the will of my Father? Jesus said, believe on him whom God has sent. And that is a faith and a belief that makes a difference. Listen, many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Church, listen, have you prophesied in the name of Christ? These people have, Jesus is speaking about. And they'll cast out demons. Have you cast out demons? These people he's talking to, they cast out demons. They did many miraculous works in his name. Have you done many miraculous works in his name? You say, Jack, you're scaring me. Well, listen, there's good news in the end, but just hang on. He says, then I will turn to them and declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They go to hell. He said, how can that happen? They preached in his name. They didn't know him. They used his name. And because they used his name was invoked, and God loving the poor, precious person on the other side of their abuse of ministry, if this nut is praying for this sick little old lady, God apparently will heal and will do a miracle. He'll do it over the head of that charlatan. And in the end, they're going to stand there and say, wait a minute, did we do great miracles in your name? Do you see, church, stay with me here. Do you hear what they're saying? Hey, come on, let us in. We've done a lot of great stuff. We had worldwide ministries. Come on, everybody knew my name. You say, Jack, that's a little harsh. Oh, I'm just getting started. You want to know what harsh is? Jesus himself sent out 12 men to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Can you give me one name among the 12 who never made it to heaven? His name's Judas. He did the miracles, and yet he never made it. Doing miracles does not take you to heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Shall We Do? A study taken from the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 3, part of our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, a while back, we aired Pastor Jack's audio series on temptation. This four-part series on CD is once again our featured resource. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs. It's seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to check it out. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. If you'd like to do things through the mail, including some year-end tax-deductible contributions to Real Radio, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.